If you find the information in this program insightful and informative, please consider donating to Knowledge for Life, a nonprofit 501c3. And you can go into the description and click on our Cash App, $KnowForLife, or our PayPal secure link. Thank you for your donation. We appreciate your support.
Your greatly beloved, the God Himself, shall come and set the earth for us.
Let's have a round of applause for the messenger of Allah.
Everywhere you hear him, listen to him. Everywhere you see him, look at him. Everywhere he advised you to go, go. Everywhere he advised you to stay from, stay from. So we are thankful to Allah for this great helper of mine, Minister Farrakhan. And I say continue to hear our Minister Farrakhan.
So those of you who thought you would come out here to see a weak, fragile, decrepit Farrakhan, I want you to look again. I'm here and I'm strong. And I will look down on all of my enemies, for he promised me that sit down at my right hand while I make all your enemies your footstool.
Assalamu alaikum. I am your brother, Darnell Muhammad, a student in the ministry class under the divine professorship of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Welcome once again to another installment of a program called My Walk with Jesus as a Muslim. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, we are forever thankful to Allah for his prophets and messengers, from Abraham to Moses to Jesus to Muhammad. And we are eternally grateful for the mercy of Allah, the grace of Allah, and his intervention in our affairs in the form of a well-made man by the name of Master Fard Muhammad. And we are thankful to him for fulfilling what is written in the scriptures in the book of Matthew, the 24th chapter, the 27th verse. As lightning shineth out of the east, even unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. We are thankful to him for coming among us, searching among us, finding one worthy among us in the first instance, in the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. And we are thankful to the both of them for not leaving us comfortless, but giving us a leader, a teacher, a guide, a brother, and a true friend, a Messiah, if you will, in our midst, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. I greet you once again in our nation's greeting of peace, of Assalamu Alaikum, but not just any peace, but the peace that brings about the contentment of mind. And that is when we connect to the peace that can only come from our submission to do the will of Allah. With that said, our subject for this evening is race, religion, and racism, part two. Why should we take up such a subject as this? Because it is because of the criticalness of the time in which we live. Everything that we are experiencing in terms of the excessive killings of us, and the increase in the killing of us by white people, police officers, etc., and white people in general. We are coming to the end of the time of what is called race. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan defined the term or the word race is something that has a beginning or an ending. And if we remember when Shakur Richardson ran the 100-meter dash, it had a beginning. And when she broke the world record or set a new one, the race was over and she was in the spotlight. So what does that have to do with race as it relates to people? There was no such thing as race when the black man was on the planet. How can we say this? The Honorable Elijah Muhammad gave us a lesson as we begin to enroll ourselves in accepting our own and being ourselves. And in this student enrollment in actual facts, he asked the question, who is the original man? And in the word original, you have the base word origin, which means the source of all of humanity. There was no such thing as race before the making of the Caucasian. In the black man, you have two germs, one brown, one black. And when you graft, when you genetically alter that gene, that brown gene, to its extreme, and extract from it the melanin, you get what is called the Caucasian. But before you get to the Caucasian or the pale face, stale face, white man, you have in between him and the white man, you have the brown man, you have, which is the Japanese. You have the red man, which is the Native American. And you have the yellow man, which is the Chinese or the Asian people. And then the final graft of that, of the extraction of the melanin, you get what is called the Caucasoid, the Amorite, the Adamites. And because they came into existence based on the principle, I am better, I am superior, simply because I am white. And now that racism, that hatred, that black inferiority had a time period. And at the end of that time period, there would be a judgment. And I respectfully suggest that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us we are at the end of the term, at the end of the time of the rule of the white man all over the planet, and the end of the ideology, the philosophy of white supremacy, meaning simply that I am better than everybody else of color simply because I am white. And that's why we have to deal with it, because our avoidance of it is killing us. Our avoidance of it and accepting the offer of what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad pointed out, the hypocritical trick of integration has doomed us, chained us to the doom and the judgment of white people. And our insistence on staying tied to them, when all of God's prophets and servants told the people to whom they were sent, come out of her. We are at that time, brothers and sisters. when we must separate ourselves from them, put down the mindset of integration and this blind love of white people and their trinkets. Many of the young people are waking up. They just need guidance to avoid the fall of America. With that said, Brother Stephen, guests and visitors, if there are any questions, comments, or statements, please make them at this time.
All right. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam, sir.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, who came in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, and in the name of his Christ, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and our Messiah, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, I would like to greet you all in the greeting words of peace of As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum thank salam. You,
Brother Minister, it's an absolute honor to be on this program with you as always. You're a testament to a true disciple. You're a testament to a true follower of Christ, if you will. And, you know, a lot of people, you know, we're talking about race, religion, and racism. And the lecture that Student Minister Ishmael delivered today should, if people watch it, erase any doubt that it is the Black man, it is the Black woman that God has come for. And as you opened up, has lifted up from among us the first begotten of the dead.
Yes, sir.
The Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And then left behind for us in his absence, not in his death, but in his absence,
yes,
a comforter and a guide in the person of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, who is, if we've ever seen the movie Avatar, he is a vessel that contains the Spirit of God.
Yes.
You know what I mean? He's
yes,
a conduit for the Spirit of God that comes through him. And like I said, people need to go back if they get a chance and listen to that powerful lecture by Student Minister Ishmael Muhammad, where, you know, he went into the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and what a blessing it is for us to be living in this time. As you so eloquently put, we're at the end of Satan's world.
All praises due to Allah. Thank you, Brother Stephen, for your words, your comments, and your insight. It's also an honor for me to be a part of this program with you. And to the listeners that may not know, this young Black man is a man that owns his own Black production company. He films the history of our people so that we tell our story and not his story, which has been so much of the case throughout our history. We've allowed other people to document us. We've allowed other people to give us their religion, give us their history, thus erasing the true history of us. Here's a videographer. Here's a brother that goes out to any and all Black events of substance, not nonsense, but substance, to record accurately our contribution to our own rise. We should support him. And after this program, go to blacksage.com. Right. That's BLASQUE, blacksage.com, and purchase products, purchase anything, supporting, Cash Apping, Zelim, whatever you have to do, we have to support our own. Did you hear me? This is a man documenting the truth, the facts about us. That's an absolute mandate.
Mandate.
We'd be guilty of treason if we do not support our own and then cry about it later when we say that he lied about us. Well, here's somebody trying to get the truth about it.
Mm-hmm.
Why not support it? You are supporting yourself when you support him.
Man, thank you so much. You know,
you're welcome.
Thank you so much for that. And, you know, I just want to extend that call to action to all Black businesses. You know, support, we have to support our own. As the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he said, hurry, pull your resources, unite, right, and do for self.
That's right.
And, you know, as the Bible say, we sported and played. As the Holy Quran say, we sport and played. But now we're starting to wake up, you know, quickly to the prophetic words of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan when he said, watch the weather.
Yes.
And now
yes,
we're looking at it all over the world. We're looking at catastrophes all over the world. But these are not climate change, brothers and sisters.
Come on.
Louis Farrakhan said, yes, there is a climate change, but when you see these weapons, I'm going to call them weapons. You can call them natural disasters. I'm going to call them the weapons of God. When you see these type of weapons being unleashed, they are to absolutely bring down this wicked world and to usher in a new world. So,
yes, brothers sir, and that's sisters, a fact. That's a fact. Climate change. But the question we have to ask is, who's making the change?
Right.
In the climate. Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to say a little bit about that supporting Black businesses is that,
please,
you know, if we just would look at that dollar, and I wish I had one on me, but you know, this is becoming so much of a cashless society.
Right.
It's hard for me to find that dollar. But anyway, oh, wait, I got a look. Here we go. I don't know if you can see this.
We can see it. I wouldn't mind going out there. Can you just stick it through the screen? I need it right real quick.
Unfortunately, this is a play dollar. This is a play $100 bill, you know, so you'll be careful when people have these type of things. But I just wanted to put this in front of the screen because let's look at this no longer as paper. Let's look at it as energy, right? This is energy. This is 100 watts or whatever, right?
Yes.
And so wherever we put this dollar, that means that we are energizing wherever we put our dollars.
We are, you know,
like electricity, you call it a circuit, right? We are allowing circulation to go wherever this dollar goes. Now, the converse is, the opposite is true as well, that where we take the money away from, that then is robbed of energy, and that doesn't have circulation. So, you know, when you have good circulation in the body, that's how you know that the body is healthy. When you have poor circulation, that's how you know that the body is in trouble and what is called atrophy.
In the deterioration muscles, all of that. Right.
Take place. So that's what our community needs to understand, and let us continue to put dollars back into our community, energizing our community so that we can make a future for our babies.
Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. Thank you for that, sir. Allah.
Yes, sir.
Has anybody chimed in yet?
Let me see here. We have just some greetings from the family, Brother Chris Caldwell.
Okay.
Yep. And he just gives us the greetings of Assalamu Alaikum.
Make sure we return the greetings of Brother Chris. Thank you, sir, for that. But let's get into this.
Yes, sir.
Here's what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said. And don't get afraid if the screen goes to black. As we fade to black, that's our origin. I'm just trying to fade back from caramel macchiato to my original skin tone. But let me give you a quote from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad as we continue this program.
Okay.
Here's what he said about religion. And we're not just, I want to say to my Christian family, I don't want anybody to get upset and think we're downing any particular religion over another. Racism existed in all of the religions that Caucasian people entered into or interacted into and took charge of. They have white supremacized everything that they have touched. There is no religion that they are a part of that they have not turned it into a racist system and entity and used it against the nature of the darker people of the planet in a chapter 49 called The Dreadful Times of the Monumental Book Fall of America. America, and especially North America, he says, has entered into the time that was predicted by Moses and the prophets between him, meaning Moses, and Jesus. In the 24th chapter of Matthew, there is a prophecy made by Jesus of the present time of America without mentioning her name. Why don't we have to mention the name of America here? Because America is the baby of London and Britain. And there's a prophecy in the scripture that says there will be a mystery Babylon. Babylon means baby London. America, North America, is the baby of Britain and America. They were white supremacists then, and they left there to come here to spread that same damnable doctrine. He referred to the country as a world because this part of the earth is referred to in many places by prophets and by Jesus himself as a wilderness. The name America is not yet 500 years old, so the prophets referred to it as a wilderness in their prophecies. And if you look at America, they say the chances of you getting killed in America, in any city in America, is greater than if you were in Iraq, Iran, in a war. It is terrible. I use the word terrible because it's not a thing that can be described as something mild. This is what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is saying, or something that is moving slowly, nor something that can be recognized as easily by the common people. It is clear to all who can see that America has reached the stage about which she has always been warned. She's always has wanted to keep it a secret because of her so-called Negro slaves. She never desired for the slave to know too much of what was in store for her because of her enslaving and mistreating her slaves. She has reared them for the past 400 years, and she knows them. She knows how they think and how they react to her teachings, and she knows their fear of her. She knows her slaves, but the slaves do not know America, their slave master, nor their children, the great, dreadful, an awful doom. As long as Christianity worked, America thought she was safe. Not the true message of Jesus Christ, but the Christ entity or the Antichrist or veiled white supremacy pulled over the message of Christ. As long as Christianity worked, white supremacy worked, America thought she was safe because it is one of the most deceiving and outright misleading religions of the world. Your religion is not what you profess. Your religion is what you practice. I don't care what you say you believe. If I watch your actions and they are not in harmony with what you claim you believe, then that is not your religion. Your religion is what you practice and what you do. Allah God taught me that if carefully examined everything in the religion of Christianity, white supremacy is designed to make a slave out of black people. He said to me, if Christianity was a wet rag and wrung out, every drop would write slavery for the black man. Stop for a moment. Just stop This is true in every religion where white folks are in charge and in power in every country. Here's what they do from the time they came into existence. They send in the missionaries into these African nations and teach them a philosophy of nonviolence, turn the other cheek, and then they send the military in after the people buy that philosophy, because the white man knew our nature, that we always wanted to be connected again to the Creator. And so then we bow down thinking we're doing God's will, when in fact we have been deceived by Lucifer, who came right up in the right path of God through his word, deceived the whole world, and made us slaves by bringing his religion to us, while he practices just the opposite and enslaved us and did not see anything wrong with being a Christian and a slave at the same time. And we still preach that damnable doctrine, some of us, to this very hour in our churches and in our mosques.
That's it.
I'll stop there.
All right. Yes, sir. That was powerful.
Yes, sir. You have any comments, Brother Stephen, yourself and or anybody else?
Oh, boy. I mean, there's so much to unpack from that, yes, of course, that, you know, when I was growing up, I grew up in both the Roman Catholic and the Baptist Church. So I started you know, Roman Catholic.
And tell us about that. Tell us about that.
Like I spoke to a brother outside the bank, really, when you say Roman Catholic and Christian, you're still talking about the same thing in all actuality.
Yes.
So as I grew up, of course, in the Roman Catholic religion, one of the things, of course, is the communion, right?
Okay.
You have this wafer that represents the body of Christ, right? And you have the Kool-Aid that represents the blood. And then you have to go up to another individual who gives you this wafer, this body of Christ, and this and this wine. So in essence, it's what they've done is they've taken the Spirit of God out of you and placed it in a wafer. And for you to put that Spirit of God back in you, you have to go to them to get this little wafer and to get this this wine, which, as we know, the blood, which is, as we know, because we were taught that the X that the children of Israel were told by Moses to put above their door, the blood, was actually living the life.
That's right, how you escape.
That's how you escape the chastisement of God. You have to sync your life up with the life or with the will of God. And this is all Jesus was talking about. So I come out of the Catholic religion and go in, you know, as I was little at this time, I didn't have a choice, right? Then I go into the Baptist religion. And so in the Baptist religion, it's totally different, right? Totally from black to white. So one, they're stringing the guitars and you can barely stay awake. And the other one, you better stay awake or you're going to be hitting the head with a pocketbook because somebody that caught the Holy Ghost, right?
Right.
So in the Baptist religion, you know, you had that Holy Ghost and then you had some people speaking in tongues.
Right.
None of which made any sense to me at all. I never saw anybody catch the Holy Ghost when they were arrested by the police, when they were standing in the Kroger's line, when they were, you know, where's the Holy Ghost then? So it was an emotional release that we find out. This is just an emotional release that you get, that spirit. That's understandable.
Right.
Now, the speaking in tongues, once again, that's all a science that could be, you know, explained, but definitely it was something to then come into the nation and to be in everything to be made where you can understand it. It's
right,
not,
right.
You can prove it it's to be reason. True. And no it's, limit it's, of time.
It's science and reason.
Right. That's right. It. It's all mathematics. There's nothing that the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and I'll just say one example right now, is that, you know, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, eat 1 meal a day.
Right.
1 meal a day. Now the scientists are saying by intermittent fasting, that's what right. they call it. They don't never like to just say, you know, what the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad called
right,
it.
Right, 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 right.
They give it another name. So by intermittent fasting, they said that actually repairs the cells in our body, you know, wow. and that gives wow. us, and we live a longer life. They did a, and I'll be quiet after this, but they went back and they found out that, you know, people who suffered through a famine, that for, I forget the study, but they found out that these people actually lived longer.
Right.
So yeah, that's I mean, beautiful, not a dreadful man. Family well, where they,
that's
you know,
spot
died,
on. That's spot on. That's spot on.
Yes, sir.
Yep. Yes, sir. Anybody in the chat? Anybody got anything to say? If not, we're going to go back to the word.
Yes, Brother Rodney has one. I'm going to bring him sure. right on.
Sure.
Go ahead, Brother Rodney.
Assalamu alaikum, family.
Wa alaikum salam, sir.
I would like to get you to expound on this a little bit. We were given a definition of Christian and what a Christian is by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. He said a Christian is one crystallized in the oneness with God by following the examples of Christ. And we know that as a Muslim is one who submits his or her will to do the will of Christ. So if we are, I mean, to submit his or her will to do the will of God. So if we follow Christ's example, his whole walk was to do God's will. So those two definitions are really one and the same. So if you are a true Christian, you really are a true Muslim. So I find it hard to understand where the difference is and where all the division and the hatred is between the two religions, when really, if we're all striving to follow Christ, we're all walking the same walk.
Yes, sir. The hatred and the division lies in, number one, understanding. Number one, misunderstanding caused by deliberate misinterpretation and giving the mind images. They say that an image is worth a thousand words. Well, if I give you an image of the Christ, who was a black man, had a black mama and a black daddy, and I give you some white boy and tell you this is Jesus, and if an image is worth a thousand words, then all of the words I use to uphold this false image gives you a false interpretation of who God is, who Christ is. So when the Honorable Elijah Muhammad comes along with the correct interpretation and presents all of the correct images of God's servant, then I am flying up against your misinterpretation, your misunderstanding of language. And so there becomes a language barrier because I'm looking at the label and not the contents. I have a bottle of ketchup in front of me, but it's been poured out of a ketchup bottle into a jar. You got a ketchup bottle that's actually in a ketchup bottle, labeled that, but you refuse to take my ketchup, put it on your sandwich because it's in a jar and it's not labeled ketchup, but the jar I got with the ketchup in it says mustard. So you're saying even though it's red, it's got to be mustard because it's in a mustard jar.
Mm-mm-mm. Yes, sir. I guess Brother Rodney. Okay, so yes, he's got it.
I'm still here. So basically, all that comes behind the racism and white folks trying to keep control because they don't really want us to know the truth about ourselves and about them.
So they give false definitions to words. So they make the other words, they transliterate words out of their original tongues, and sometimes they come up with totally words that don't even have any root in any of the original tongues, and they come up with their own language, their own dictionaries, and then define things. And he who has the power to define has control. Whoever has the power to label and define has the ability to also control. And that's exactly what Lucifer, white supremacists have done. And as you said so beautifully, Brother Rodney, if we all follow the meaning, but we're blinded by the label that the white supremacists, the racists have given us, and there's nothing more powerful than a religious definition, because that's in exact harmony with our nature. And the Caucasian knew our nature because their father, Yaqub or Jacob, taught them our nature. So they used the language, the words of God, gave them their own meaning. And now that someone has come along to give us the correct meaning, the correct interpretation, or the truth, we fight them. Because all my life, I was told it meant this. And because you look like me, and I've been made to hate me, I don't want to hear anything you got to say, because what does a Negro know? Where did you get that from? Translation, what white man agrees with you on what you trying to tell me?
You know, brother minister, there's a word called cognitive dissidence.
Yes, sir.
Cognitive dissidence, right? So like you
define
said,
define it for us. Help us out.
the definition, I might have to look that up, because I know if I try to give you the definition of it right now, I would probably mess it up.
That's all right. Go ahead and give me your what you were going to say about it. Then we'll look it up later.
All right. Yep, for sure. So cognitive dissidence is basically, you know, when truth comes to you, you rationalize the lie over the truth.
Okay.
Regardless. So we're told that the black man and black woman, that we are the chosen people of God, and not those people who are over there in what is actually called Palestine.
Right.
So now we have this project that comes up, 1619, talking about us being in bondage for 400 years. Well, where is that you read about in the scripture?
Right.
It's right there in the book of Genesis. Know of a surety, Abraham, that your seed will be brought into a strange land. So the vegetation, for instance, that we see over here is not the vegetation that you see in Africa. Right, animals are not the same that you see in Africa. So it's a strange land. We'll just leave it simple, right?
Right.
Among strange people. Who can deny that the white man, when it comes down to his cultural ways, are strange to the original man, not to where we have been grafted to, or where we've been misshapen, grotesquely shaped today, to where his culture is not now we embrace it, but when we can look at him through clear eyes, we can absolutely say that he's a strange man.
That's right.
So this is these type of things today. It's clear evidence that the black man and black woman, that we are the chosen people of God. And if that be true, then we should be looking for a Messiah figure. Now, if we look in the scriptures, once again, we see this man, Jesus, and we see these adversaries. Who were the adversaries? There were the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sanhedrins, the Jews of his day. And we're not saying anything about those who follow the religion of Abraham or the religion of Judaism. We're talking about those who are written of in Revelations, where it says that there are those who call themselves Jews, but are not. That's who we're talking about.
Yes, sir. So, yes, sir. Brother, I'm listening to you. I'm just also yes. trying to find cognitive okay. dissonance.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead. Well, keep going. Sir.
So, you know, when we go through all the scripture, brothers and sisters, all we need to do is take each story that we read in the scripture and just overlay it to our history here in the hills of North America. If we look at the book of Daniel, their names were changed and their language was changed. Was not our language changed? Was not our names changed? When we look at the story of Joseph, weren't we brought into bondage and sold into bondage by our own brothers and sisters who captured us and helped, you know, helped the white man, you know, put us on these ships? When we look in the book of Ezekiel, aren't we the dry bones, meaning aren't we the people who have lost the knowledge of self? That's what water means. Water means knowledge. So when you have dry bones, that just means that the people were robbed of a knowledge of self. And this is what we're trying to say of the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, as taught by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, that, you know, this thing about a trinity, three fitting into one, these type of things you can't explain, and they're not mathematically sound. Yes, and if sir. We're looking at a universe that is mathematics, the universe right. is mathematics. That's everything right. can be explained through mathematics.
Right.
If God is mathematics, or if the religion is mathematics, then yes, you know anything that's outside of that norm is false.
This yes, is just sir. Here's what cognitive dissonance means. In the field of psychology, cognitive dissonance is the perception of contradictory information and the mental toll of it. Relevant items of information include a person's actions, feelings, ideas, beliefs, values, and things in the environment. Cognitive dissonance is typically experienced as psychological stress. Let me pause for a moment. If you can say there are books out right now on the psychological trauma that Black people went under, you talk about what is called the Stockholm syndrome for an individual that started with Patty Hearst, and we won't get into all of that, but right. the concept of when an abductee begins to identify with their abductor and take on the characteristics and the mindsets of the abductor. We are people who were robbed of the knowledge of self, God, and others, and traumatized. And the environment, it says, we take on the ideas of them and the psychological stress that goes with it. Living in America, we now are the number one cancer manifestors, the number one mental illness manifestors, the number one, you name the disease, you name the psychosis, Black people experience it. Mm-hmm. All of us have had a nervous breakdown, but just ain't never been diagnosed. Thus, the offer of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan of the technology of Scientology or Dianetics. Let me continue. Cognitive dissonance is typically experienced as a psychological stress when persons participate in an action that goes against one or more of those things. Number one, according to this theory, when two actions or ideas are not psychologically consistent, for thus the belief that God is a mystery, but yet he created man in his own image and after his own likeness, those two ideas are contradictory, thus producing cognitive dissonance. In a psychological inconsistency or consistency with each other, people do all in their power to change them until they become consistent. But we have not been able to make any of the ideas that the white man taught us, our slave masters taught us, we have not been made to make anything to make sense of any of the cognitive dissident ideas that the white man has given us. The discomfort is triggered by the person's belief clashing with new information perceived, wherein the individual tries to find a way to resolve the contradiction to reduce their discomfort. In when prophecy fails, a social and psychological study of a modern group that predicted the destruction of the world. And when those things don't happen, it's a long, long thing, but that is sufficient to explain what you so beautifully explained already in terms of when you suffer from cognitive dissonance, you are deliberately going up against what is logical, what is mathematical, what is in fact the truth coming from God through divine revelation in a man from among your own people who is the living example and manifestation of the word of God. So there is no mistake about me reading the Quran, you reading the Bible and saying, no, my God telling me to do. You always have a man that comes with the word. There's never a word, never a revelation without a man. It's not just right. A book, but a man that manifests in the perfect example of what the book is talking about. He is the word wrapped up in flesh, and that man is the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, and in his absence, the honorable minister Louis Farrakhan. So we have to come out of this cognitive dissonance, stop fighting with the truth, and you'll become unconfused.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Thank you, brother. That's good.
Thank you, sir, for raising the issue.
Yes, sir. And you know, you talked about some terms. Of course, we don't go by this world's psychology. However, right, we can look at some of the terms that are given for certain mental instabilities. Sure, like sure. You were talking about
the principle. Stockholm. The principle. It's the principle.
It's the right. Principle. So when we do say Stockholm syndrome, we're talking about a mentality that now identifies themselves closer to their captors right. than to their fellow captives, right? If right. that's a word. So
yes,
we have a lot of us who have that type of mentality. We'll call them Toms. Sometimes we used to call them Uncle Toms.
Right.
You know, but they that Steven mentality from Django,
right.
that mentality that it sees themselves or identifies their being with that of their captors and
that
will,
is a
and
fact.
Are dangerous to the revolution of their people.
You're
but
correct.
Then you have another mentality that is called learned helplessness. We
Come
call
on.
It you say learned helplessness. There's also another an example with a tethered elephant, or they have a flea that's in a jar with the cap
correct.
Is on, and
that's
the flea
correct.
Jumps, and then they take the cap off, and the flea won't jump out of the jar. This
right.
this is that box that
right.
the white man has put us in by, as you were just saying to us earlier, that he gave us our name. He took away our religion and our culture and gave us his
That's right.
religion, if you will.
That's right.
And he is shaping our culture because he controls what we hear on the radio stations and what
All
we see
our
on television.
All are controlled by him. Everything we feed from is controlled by him.
Have you seen that movie yet? They cloned Tyrone.
Oh man, it was absolutely. Oh man, that was about it. That was as good as the Montgomery incident in the chair.
Right. The Get Out movie. I mean, there's a lot of movies,
of that,
brothers and sisters, that's just waking us up to the reality. Even, you know, the Matrix, which was actually written by
right.
a black woman.
Right.
You know, the Matrix, when we look at the Matrix, That's us. Once again, right. We're in the matrix. The black man, we're in the matrix. Right. And the white man's world is the world that is not the reality.
Right. You're correct. It's not all of that is us. All that's about us. Mm-hmm. Morpheus, a black man.
Mm-hmm.
The one that was guiding everybody. Everybody looked up to.
That's
now, of
right.
course, I think the original person that was supposed to play Neo was also a black man, too. If it was not Will Smith, it might have been Wesley Snipes or somebody.
Right.
But they ended up turning the role down, so Keanu Reeves got the job.
That's right. And the whole lawsuit with the woman who won, that really never even hit the light of day.
Of course, they don't want nobody to know that.
This is what it's all about. Right. Even when you look at comic book characters like the X-Men, you know, right. you have this, Professor X being Martin Luther King and Magneto being Malcolm X and, you know,
right.
these two opposing sides. It's right. all about us. All about
Always.
Us.
We're the real X-Men.
We are the real X-Men. That's right. Yes, sir. Let me see. I think I want to see if Brother Marcel would like to come on. He has a blank, but he has some things in the chat that I think maybe he can sure. go into.
Sure, please.
All right. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum salam. How's the brothers doing?
Fine, sir. How are you?
All praises due to Allah. Very interesting conversation. And we're trying to heal our people from the ills of 400 years of being deceived. And I put in the chat, Brother Minister, 2 Thessalonians 2, where it's in it basically in a nutshell says that God comes after the workings of Satan.
That's right.
So as a Christian, why do they have a problem reading the scripture that's clear as day that says that Satan had you first? And then the 2 Thessalonians goes on to talk about they deceived us with all type of lying wonders, and it's total deception. They had us first, and then God has to come behind Satan and attempt to undo every single thing that Satan has done. Could a problem with our Christian family be that they refuse to believe or acknowledge that Satan taught and trained them first? Because you can't even begin to heal until you acknowledge who is responsible or what is responsible for putting you in your current condition in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir, Brother Marcel. Thank you, brother. Not only for the question, but for the beautiful way you laid it out. This intoxication, this drug addiction to white supremacy, stylized or veiled under Christianity or the Antichrist. We are drunk. And the first thing a junkie has to do in order to be rehabilitated, he has to first admit he's ill. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad did a great work among us because he pointed out to us many of the plain truths. Yes, the Bible has been tampered with, but he also said it has many truths in it. But our people are not readers of the word. We have also been made, as Brother Stephen was talking about earlier, we have been made to be a welfare, a dependent. The world owes me something. I want somebody else to take care of me. So because we are lazy learners, then we listen to people preach, but we very seldom go after the study for ourselves. So there are many truths, Brother Marcel, that you pointed out in that 2 Thessalonians, but if many Christians read it for themselves, they might very well come to the same conclusion that you came to as a result of your exposure to that. But because we are just listeners of the word or hearers of the word and not studiers of the word, be ye not just hearers of the word, but study, show thyself approved, worthy, a workman who need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. But we don't do that. And some of us who should be studying run away from the study, not realizing that if you're ever going to be able to impact your own life as you share and advise your children, if you would listen to your own self as you teach others, you really are being taught yourself if you're truly representing the word of God properly. It will begin to help you guide your own life. So thank you for that, brother. But the biggest problem is we are poisoned by the crack in religion, poisoned by the heroin in religion, poisoned by the wine that Brother Stephen pointed out in the process of the so-called first Sunday in the month. We have been made drunk off of the teachers that tickle our ears. These are intoxicating people who give all kind of crazy concepts and ideas that are so far outside of reality, they are in fact science fiction. Mm-hmm. So, brother, we have to read those same verses. And just as you described it, it would wake us up. But we are not readers of the word. We are just hearers. We are lazy learners. Thank you for that, brother. Anyone else?
I just wanted to veggie back off of sure. what you were saying about lazy, right? And so we have a character in the scripture called Lazarus.
Come on.
We got another character in the scripture called the prodigal son. Wow. Both of these individuals, one was waiting for crumbs, literally waiting for crumbs to fall from the rich man's table instead of just getting up and doing something for himself. He could have had a table better than the rich man's table.
Wow.
And then another character, the prodigal son, was just living it up. He was just living a riotous life. He had not a care in the world. Until one thing hit both of them, and that was a great famine.
Wow.
Brothers and sisters.
Thank you for that.
It's time to get serious. We have to pull our communities together and start urban gardens. We need to start that anyway.
All of that, brother.
Because the USDA has always been the number one enemy when it came down to us losing land here in America, a government agency, that's a fact. The USDA, and we can look that up. So, yes, sir, I just wanted to throw that in there when you were talking about lazy. Thank you for that tie-in,
brother. That was an absolutely beautiful connection. Anyone else?
Right now, we don't have any questions in the chat. So,
okay, well then let's sum this up. We're right at the top of the hour, got like 2 minutes.
Okay.
So let's do this, brothers and sisters. Let us leave this program tonight with these words. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan stated in a 1978 presentation with some Pan-Africanists, nationalists, and the subject of the day, which is absolutely true and applicable right now as we speak. The question was asked, what is the state of the race? And you know that the President of the United States does a State of the Union presentation, which basically supposed to give what the state or the nation state called America is doing, whether she's healthy or bad, but we already know she needs a torchlight. The minister already gave them one. And the same thing for us. When he was asked, what is the state of the race? He said, number one, the state of the race is pitiful. Then he went on to say that we are not a race. Again, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said we are the original people. We are the producer of races because all races have a beginning and an end. There is an end to all of the grafted people. But there is no end to the black man. The scripture describes us as Alpha and Omega, the Ancient of Days. And no matter where they search, S.B. Leakey and all of the folks, they always find us as far away as Europe, Africa, or anywhere else. They find our bones there, and they find those bones had ancestors, parents, great-grandparents, etc. We were everywhere at once on this planet. No matter where the white man went, we were already there. That's why he's always discovering and never creating. He's a discoverer and a maker. See? Have power and dominion and make. You see, you got to make something from a created thing that was already here. You make things. You don't create anything. I'm talking about the Caucasian. We are creators. He is just a maker because he's a made man himself.
And if I could just say something at the end, please, we're looking at two things that are coinciding at the same time, brothers and sisters. We read in the book of Revelation says, count the number of the man, for the number of the man is the number of a beast, 666. Now, remember, it says count the number of a man. There also is a scripture that says that there has to be a falling away first before the man of sin be revealed. So if we're talking about a man of sin, we're talking about the Antichrist, who is a man, then we're talking about a Christ who is a man. Right. Even in the Muslim world, they talk about the Mahdi and the Christ coming at the end of time.
That's right.
Well, then if they're coming at the end of time, how are you going to see them? If they're spirits or if they're spooks, if they're ghosts,
they're going to
have to come in a vessel. So there's no argument here. The only argument is a misunderstanding. And that misunderstanding too is that when our Christian brothers, as they hear us talk, they may want to think that we are not Christians. We are Christians.
Right.
We are Christians because we do crystallize our life out following the God through the example of Jesus Christ. Right.
That is correct.
So
that is correct.
We're Christians as well. We're also the true Hebrews, you know, if you want to go there.
That is a fact.
I just wanted to add that. And one last thing, in the beginning, you were talking about the grafted, the brown man, the yellow man, and the white man. Now the red man, he wasn't a part of that. And I just wanted to just clarify that that you were saying in the beginning. But yes, sir.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
So, next week, I guess since we're at the bottom of the hour and we're wrapping it up, next week we're going to have a beautiful brother who is, I believe, is he not the second imam in the Nation of Islam, Brother Carlos. I can't recall his name. Abdul Salam. He will be joining us next week, God willing. And we look forward to our conversation with him because as many know that he has a large he was over a large archive of the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad in the form of audio and things like that. And yes, also we look forward to going into some real heavy spiritual conversation with him as well. And we invite all of those who are watching to join that conversation. And if you have any questions, you know, don't think that any of them are dumb questions. As they say, the only dumb question is the question that was never asked.
Never asked.
So, yes, sir.
Thank you, my brother. Thank you, audience. Thank you. And we'll see each other again next week. Thank you. Take us away, brother Stephen.
Yes, sir. All right. And I just want to, as always, invite those who are watching to come back every week at 7 p.m. Invite your family, your friends, and even those who you associate with. Invite them to come back every week, and you can be a part of the conversation because it's an interactive program. And with that, may God continue to bless you and your family with the light of truth and understanding. Go get your subscription to the Final Call newspaper so that you can stay in tune and on track and not be deceived by this open enemy. And with that, I would like to leave you as I came before you in the greeting words of peace of As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam.
Yes, sir. I'll find this outro. Here we go.
You gotta have knowledge for knowledge for life. You gotta have knowledge for knowledge for life.
If you are enjoying this program and the others that Knowledge for Life produces, then please consider following us on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and iHeart Podcast. Your support means a lot. Please drop a comment in the section below and share with family, friends, and associates. Thank you for your support. Thank you for listening to this very informative, insightful program. Please follow, like, and share with family, friends, and associates. Come back every week for a new episode of Knowledge for Life's podcast.
Greetings to you, sisters and brothers. This is Steve Muhammad coming to you from Refuge Depot. As we all know, the weather is extreme. We need to prepare our homes to become a sanctuary and not a cemetery. Please go to refugedepot.com or click in the description below to find all your disaster preparedness items and survival techniques. That's refugedepot.com or click in the description below. If you have any questions, please call 937-985-0779 or email refugedepot@gmail.com.